Hey guys, this is Jimmy over at the Disney Nerds Podcast, and I just wanted to take a minute to talk to you about DVC Resale Market, a World of DVC company. DVC Resale Market is the leader in the DVC resale industry, with 13 former Disney Vacation Club guides and 3 former Disney Vacation Club quality assurance managers. If you're thinking of buying DVC, browse the largest selection of DVC resale listings anywhere with DVC experts on hand 7 days a week to answer any of your questions. If you're thinking of selling, turn to the friendly professionals at DVC Resale Market, where over 98% of listings sell within 30 days. In 2020, DVC Resale Market helped over 3,600 families join or add onto their memberships. Go to DVCResaleMarket.com. Or call 1-844-DVC-PROS. That's 1-844-382-7767. Let them know that the Disney Nerds Podcast sent you. Again, that's DVCResaleMarket.com or call 1-844-DVC-PROS.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magical Worlds of Disney.
Welcome to show number 410 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Tonight we have Morgan and me, Melissa, on the show. Hey, Morgan.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm really excited to talk about breaking news around Disney Genie. And
big breaking news.
Yeah, I know. It just today, too, the day we're recording, which is Friday the 8th. So we will start with that, and then we'll get to your trip, Morgan, where you got to experience the kickoff of the 50th celebration.
Yes, and I am still recovering from it. I mean, it was crazy, but we'll get into that later. First things first is Disney Genie. We talked about this, was it last month? Or at least 3 weeks ago. They announced Disney Genie. It was this new aspect for the My Disney Experience app. There's a free aspect of it. There's a paid aspect of it. And there's even an individual paid aspect. We didn't know when we were getting it. Well, now we finally know. October 19th, Walt Disney World is getting Genie service.
So tell us a little bit about the different levels of service. Let's start first with Disney Genie.
How they describe Disney Genie, and this is also on the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com. The free aspect of it is it's create almost an itinerary for you. You can put in as much or as little information as you want. You can say, I'm going to Magic Kingdom and I really like princesses. We also know that character experiences are coming back. So it will probably tell you, okay, we'll go at this time to meet this princess and that time to meet that princess. Then you have the Disney Genie Plus, which is going to be $15 a day. This is basically the new Fast Pass. This is going to give you more than 40 attractions that you can use the Lightning Lane, skip that standby line.
It's $15 per day per ticket, right?
Yes.
And I think we saw that you'll be able to purchase this before your trip or the day of.
You can add it the day of, or you can add it onto your Disney vacation package, which you can do with your travel agent, somebody like Jimmy or myself, or you can do it however you normally order your trips. But that being said, as a travel agent working for Jimmy, who is Welcome Home Travel Company, one of our sponsors, I recommend this is an extra thing. Go ahead and have one of us do it and try to take that off your to-do list.
For sure. And this can be, I think what's nice about it is you could say, I want to do it for Magic Kingdom, but not when I go to, say, Epcot or something.
Yeah.
And then the next kind of piece around Disney Genie Plus before we get to that a la carte option is when you'll be able to select your first ride. Looks like when to select an attraction will be at 7 a.m. Yeah. on the day of your visit. And that's going to be for both on-site guests and off-site guests. It'll be done right in your Disney Experience app.
You're going to get on your My Disney Experience app just like you did for Virtual Queue. Pull up Disney Genie, and you're going to pick that first ride. So if it's Magic Kingdom, you want to do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and you want to pay for the Disney Genie Plus, that's what you're going to do.
So I think then we'll move to the a la carte service, which is what Disney's calling individual lightning lane. So can you give us a little bit of a rundown on that?
So this is going to be the high demand attractions. So like I said, they say over 40 are going to be in the Disney Genie Plus. And then you've got the high demand attractions. So
I can go through the list, Morgan.
I've got yeah.
So for Magic Kingdom, the two will be Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Space Mountain.
Yep.
For Epcot, we have Frozen Ever After and Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. For Hollywood Studios, it will be Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. For Star Wars, Rise of the Resistance. And then for Animal Kingdom, it'll be Avatar, Flight of Passage, and Expedition Everest. I think we all expected those rides. Those would be the ones that came to mind. It's interesting that it is just two per park.
Yes. But there's actually a good thing about that, because if you're already paying that $15 per person for the Disney Genie Plus, you don't want to only have like five options. You want to feel like you're getting your money's worth. So having only two on this individual lightning lane selection, I think that's a good thing. Now, we don't know the dollar amount because it's not going to be a set dollar amount. Basically, think of the individual lightning lane pricing similar to your Disney park ticket pricing. It's going to be based on the time of year and the demand. So obviously, you're going to pay more for it in the summer than you are during the slow time, you know, probably in the winter before the holidays.
So I'll read the example that Disney has given us. They do confirm that prices will vary by attraction and park. And so they give the example that the Lightning Lane entrance for Remy's Ratatouille Adventure will be $9 per person on October 19th and $11 per person on October 23rd. Another example they give us is the difference between Expedition Everest, which would be $7 a person, while Star Wars Rise of the Resistance would be $15 a person. They then go on to explain, just like you said, Morgan, that throughout the year, the prices may be lower or higher on some days than others. And it could be, you know, park dependent, day dependent, ride dependent. But it will always be that you can purchase up to two attractions each day.
So, I mean, there's pros and cons to everything. I think that this is definitely something that was bound to happen. Every other amusement park, theme park has something like this that are one of the major ones. So I'm excited to see what this does. Also excited about the complimentary things like those itineraries that it's going to create for me. It's going to even supposedly, if you don't have a dining reservation, maybe give you a recommendation. So you're in Magic Kingdom and you're in Frontierland, is probably going to recommend Pecos Bill for you, which you might not have considered before for whatever reason. I'm excited to see that aspect of it and see how it may change my choices.
It's going to be exciting, or have that virtual travel guide at my fingertips. That's free because everyone will get the Disney Genie service. I also agree that it's going to take away maybe a little bit of pre-planning pressure for those families who need a little bit more flexibility through the day. They use the example of maybe a rain shower hits and they'll be able to divert you to something else. That's really nice for those first-time families or families that only go every couple of years to not have to know the ins and outs. The other thing I found interesting about the detailed rollout is the on-site benefit. So when it comes to the individual lightning lane, that a la carte service, as a Disney guest resort in one of their hotels, along with Swan, Dolphin, and Shades of Green, you'll be able to make your a la carte purchases at 7 a.m. while all off-site guests will make their first purchase when the parks open. So that is going to be a benefit that we haven't had before. It's similar, I think, to FastPass Plus, where on-site guests got to make their reservations 60 days out and off-site guests made their FastPass Plus 30 days out.
And again, it goes back to the, we don't have to worry about the pre-planning as much. So especially like I can speak as times that I've taken my mom, she's not a pre-planner. Doesn't matter how many times that we go to Disney, she doesn't pre-plan. So if you have somebody in your party that just doesn't pre-plan, it just has not been ingrained to them from however many Disney trips they've had, this is going to be a great option for you, I think.
Agreed. I think, you know, we both have trips coming up for our meetup in November. Definitely recommend checking it out if you're going to be in the area, or maybe you just need to get to Florida in less than 30 days. But we'll both be there in November, and I think that we're going to take advantage of it. Try it out, see how it is. How about you, Morgan?
I'm definitely going to try it out there for a full week. So we've got our meetups. The 11th is our premium one, which you don't need to use Disney Genie for, over at Splitsville. It is premium. It's on our events page. If you want to join, you do have to buy tickets. Does include open bar as well as food, which I can tell you from last year, that is pizza and sushi and chicken fingers. And they're oh so good because it's Splitsville and the food's great. But in the parks that you get to use Disney Genie, Friday the 12th of November is our half sample-thon. And Saturday the 13th is our scavenger hunt in Epcot, and they're going to be amazing.
Yes, I can't wait. I think be a lot of fun spending time with everyone in Epcot for 2 days.
Yeah, if you guys have never been to a meetup, it's just cool to hang out with all the faces that you either see on screen or hear our voices, plus the people that interact on the comments in our Disney Nerds Facebook group. It's just cool to hang out with everybody. Like, I've talked to you online. Now I get to talk to you in person. That's just really cool.
And we were talking about buttons in our offline chat. And I love being in a queue and seeing somebody else with their Nerds button that's there for the weekend and being like, hey, I know you.
Yep.
And just say, how are you? How's your trip going? Or meeting new people who have not heard of us or maybe have only checked us out a little bit and they recognize our pin and spark up a conversation. So
I cannot wait.
Well, any other last comments that you have?
The only thing that I want to add is the disability pass aspect of this. I did get to talk to some people who utilize the Disney disability pass, and it's actually already changed. So until what they told us when they first announced Disney Genie is you're supposed to be able to go through the app or somewhere online and get the disability pass. So until October 9th, how it's been working is you still go to guest services and you still get a disability pass. But one thing they've already changed is you go up to a ride, say Rise of the Resistance, just because that's the one that's sticking in my head right now. And it's an hour wait. They're going to give you a return time of about an hour. So, you know, you go at noon, they're going to tell you to come back around 1 o'clock. So you don't stand in the line, which is good for people with some disabilities. You can go have lunch or whatever, and then you return and you go in the lightning lane. It's a little bit different, and I'm assuming this is how it's going to be from now on. And the people I've talked about that have used this so far, is they like this aspect of it.
Yeah, that's great information. And definitely, if you are someone who uses a disability pass, definitely reach out to us on our Facebook page, on our blog, and let us know what your experience or your questions are.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that in basically a week, we're getting Disney Genie.
I know. It's so quick. Like, it was big news and then really quiet. And then all of a sudden it's like, it's coming, and it's coming in a week.
I mean, I was 100% expecting it for the 50th.
Well, speaking of the 50th, we can transition into your trip and seeing this kickoff of the 50th. What's the one thing that just stands out?
The one thing that stands out to me is I am so glad that I am alive to witness the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, which I know sounds kind of like, I don't know, it just sounds weird. But like, if you think about it, this is a milestone and we can remember this for the rest of our lives and enjoy it. And it's happening for 18 months. So granted, yes, I was there last week, October 1st. I was in Walt Disney World. I was there for the actual anniversary. But if you weren't there, you can still enjoy the same celebrations. We got there the Wednesday before, September 29th, and we hit Epcot because we found out last minute they debuted Harmonious early. And me and Jimmy were there. We went live. Actually, we went live on Facebook and Instagram. We tested Instagram live. And I have to admit, like, I didn't get teary-eyed, but I definitely had some feels for Harmonious.
What was your favorite?
So we've all seen the pictures of the fountains and the quote-unquote Stargate in the middle of Showcase Lagoon. And all day while we were there, the screens on the fountains were blue and they had the 50 on them. And then when Harmonious started, they became fountains and there was water and the screens were displaying images from the movies that was the music that was being played. And the music that was being played, so for example, like they did some Hunchback and they were singing in their native language. So it wasn't everything wasn't in English. So Coco, you had Spanish, you had French. And it was really cool because you knew the song they were singing, even if you didn't know what the words were because it was a different language. And then you had images on the screen to just keep you tied in.
That was actually one of the things I noticed right away. In listening to the music, hearing the language that tied to the song, that also seemed to tie to the countries that are around World Showcase. And even though I wasn't in the parks, I just was washed over in this sense of I spent this wonderful day at Epcot. I toured through World Showcase and I got to meet these cast members from these countries and learn how to say hello in their language or write my name, you know, whatever the case may be, try some food. And this is a perfect capstone summary of what my day was like by listening to the songs in both French and English or whatever the song, you know, is.
Yeah, whatever the language, yeah.
Yep. And have some fireworks and some water projections and my family around me. And I was just like, this is just nice. This makes sense. And it feels like it fits so perfectly.
And I have to say that the video does not do it justice because you have to think of it as, okay, you were standing in World Showcase Lagoon. And most people haven't seen it yet, I recommend try to get as close to the fence around Showcase Lagoon, try to get an unobstructed view as possible because you want to see the screens as well as the sky. And you have to think of it as basically your eyes are being drawn to like two places at once. So when we go live for you, for everybody, we have to pan out. So we get both of those so you guys can see the whole picture as much as possible, but your eyes do so much better than any camera would. Like when they had the scene for Merida, Touch the Sky, which I love that movie. The screen had one side had Merida's face and the other side had the red curly hair. And then it would have like, you can't see it that well on a camera. When you see it in person, it's so much better.
I think that you, if I remember right, you saw it on the first night, but then you also went back to Epcot and looked at from a different vantage point. What was your take on seeing the show from a different location around World Showcase?
So Wednesday, we saw it from Norway. Friday, we had our meetup with the Main Street Mouse, but we were in Germany. The Germany view, I think, was a little bit better because you had a little bit more of the ring because there is different colors and water and all that. But Norway was still fine too. Like, I don't feel like I missed anything watching it in Norway. The only place that I think would be bad is, I know there's parts of France where that island that is also in the lagoon would obstruct the screens.
Okay, that's a good point.
So I would say that would probably be the place I would not recommend because you want to be able to see the screens and the sky. You can't see the screens, you are missing half of the show.
When you went back to Epcot during the day, are those screens and water features doing stuff now during the day the whole time, or do they just sit as black blobs again?
We were there for 2 days. We did, like I said, we did Wednesday, got there in the afternoon, and then all day Friday, nothing. They had it. The screens were blue and you had the Walt Disney World 50th logo and that was it. Me and Jimmy did get virtual queue for Remy, which we did go live as far as we could. We kind of lost signal, but we got to go through the queue with whoever watched with us live. The ride was really cute.
Yeah, what was your impression of the ride?
I really liked the ride. Me being the, we need to get the content. We need to show this to everybody. You know, I have my camera ready to like record it. And Jimmy's like, no, put it down, experience it. And I'm glad I did. I am not going to lie. I'm kind of glad that I didn't get it for you guys. And I just got to experience it for myself once. Because you really have to look all around you. It's not just looking at the screens because there is a 3D aspect to it. You also look up, you look to the left, you look to the right. There is stuff going on all around you. And we've got a new smell. You know how our Disney rides have a smell? Soarin', it's those orange groves from Soarin' Over California. We got the pirate water from Pirates of the Caribbean. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now introducing French bread. And it smells amazing.
Does it make you want to just go into the patisserie and order everything?
Yes. I kind of wanted to like go straight over there and see if like, can I just get the bread? I don't want a sandwich. I just want bread. But yeah, it was really cute. That whole area is really cute. Obviously, it was crowded a little bit because this is the first official day that was opening. All the previews are done and everybody can now go back there. I didn't try the creperie because the line was long. That was a major theme of the weekend. There was an actual line outside of the Creation Shop, which is the new Mouse Gears, just to get in to shop. Yeah, so
definitely for our listeners, if a little bit deeper dive into Remy's Ratatouille adventure opening up. We had Sam on the show back on episode 406 and where we talked about his experience in the previews, riding that attraction, the sound of it. So definitely for our listeners, check that out. And then for the new Creation Shop, we actually were able to go live on last Tuesday night show. And Sam was in there and did a little recording for us while he was there, showed us some of the merch. It didn't really seem like there was a lot out. And cast members said everything was going to be premiered on October 1st. So you can find that and all of our Tuesday night shows on the Disney Nerds podcast on Facebook.
Now, I do have to say not everything was out on the 1st. So Sam actually got to cover there's different collections for the 50th merchandise. I think there's 4 or 5. One big item is the Disney 50th Dooney and Burke. That did not release on the 1st. I believe it released this week or it's releasing next week. And there's a matching dress to it, which I think releases at the same time. So not everything released on the 1st, which we thought was kind of interesting.
It'll be interesting to see what else comes out.
Now, I do have to say, so my friend did want to wait in that line. Me and Jimmy were hungry, so we went over to Sunshine Seasons, and we got to try some of the 50th desserts.
Yeah, let's talk about food. What was some of the, either there or even through Food and Wine, some of your
I think that was actually the only dessert that I had at Epcot. They had two at Sunshine Seasons. It was a mini chocolate bundt cake, and it was a lemon chiffon cake. We got both. I wish that lemon chiffon cake was a permanent fixture because it was delicious. It was very light. Like the bundt cake, it was exactly what you think. It was a chocolate bundt cake. Very chocolatey. If you love chocolate, that is going to be your go-to. Like that is your, they got the nail on the head for that, for all the chocolate lovers. That lemon chiffon cake was just, it was light and fluffy and delicious. And I will be getting it when we're back there for the meetup because it was so good. And it makes your tongue blue.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. That's going to be like the purple wall is share your blue tongue.
Yeah, that's the new hashtag, Disney blue tongue. But yeah, that was delicious. For food and wine, I think, so we had my mom with us on Wednesday and we stopped at the Greece booth, which I'm part Greek. We got the Spanakopita, which people know as spinach pie, and the lamb moussaka. We make spanakopita open in my house for Christmas. Like, that is our Christmas tradition. And theirs was really good because, as anybody knows, different regions of different countries have different ways to make food. Disney's version was amazing. Like, I would eat theirs and I would eat the one that I make at home. The lamb moussaka, took a bite. I look at my mom. Why don't we make this in our house? So needless to say, we don't make moussaka in my house, but we will now because of Disney. Friday, we did more drinking than eating. And I finally got back into La Cava. There wasn't a line out the door. We had one of our riders, Veronica, with us on Friday. Her husband and their kids. And we decided to go over to La Cava. Because me and Veronica, actually, I already knew about this and Veronica brought it up. There is this drink that has been hitting the scene on TikTok from La Cava. And it's this drink that they put the smoke in and they put it under glass and they do smoke bubbles. And it just looks really, really cool. So we had to try it.
Because it's like the drink terrarium.
Yes. But like the smokiness like infuses in the drink. And I will admit there was a little smokiness in the drink after I drank it. But the drink, I don't remember what the name was, but it was really good. So if there's ever not a huge line at La Cava, you guys need to go try that drink.
I've been very impressed with La Cava. I've been there once or twice and, of course, share drinks with everyone who's having drinks, you know, have a little taste. And nothing's been bad. And there's been some that I've been, I don't know if I'm going to like that. Are we sure that's good? And you have it. It's like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Like, we had four or five adults with us. So we had four or five drinks to try. The one that I wasn't sure about was called Pink Popcorn. And I think the name, I was like, I don't know about this. It wasn't bad. I got, it's called Black Magic, and it was created by Neil Patrick Harris. And my thought,
but of course.
Yeah, if Neil Patrick Harris made it, how can it be bad?
Yeah.
And man, was I right. Jimmy got the cucumber one, and that was really light and refreshing. Like, that one was perfect for summer days. But that was pretty much our Epcot highlights for those 2 days.
We're going to journey from Epcot, walk Friendship Boat or Skyline over to Hollywood Studios. And I heard that at Hollywood Studios at Muppet Vision, they changed up the pre-show a little bit.
Yes, they did. Sam let us in on the fact that there is a new pre-show for Muppet's Haunted Mansion, which came out today, the day that we're recording, October 8th. I have not watched it yet.
I have watched it.
Okay, don't tell me any spoilers.
The only thing I will say is it is classic Muppets and it is classic Mansion.
Oh, I can't wait. I
enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait. So we went to go do Muppets and we walked in. The pre-show had already started. So Jimmy hung back and he watched the whole thing. And it was really cool. Like what I saw. So got Pepe the shrimp. I guess he's a shrimp.
Prawn. He is a prawn. Prawn. Yeah.
Was upset that there wasn't enough of him, so he asked for clips to show his mama. So Pepe was showing us all about Disney's Muppets Haunted Mansion and, you know, beefing it up. And it was just really, really cute. It was great to see something new. And I do have to say, that was not all the Muppets Haunted Mansion that we got that day.
Really?
Yes, we then went over to Pizza Rizzo for lunch, and we had Muppet's Haunted Mansion chocolate eclairs.
Wow.
Yes. And they were yummy. I think this is a Halloween thing. So if you guys are going this month, definitely check them out. We mobile ordered. On the mobile order, there's a picture of four, which is a little confusing because you're like, are we getting four mini eclairs? Are we getting one big one? Because there's a different printed chocolate piece on each eclair. So they're showing you all four pictures on the picture for mobile ordering. So I ordered one, Jimmy ordered one. We got two different pictures. There was the Haunted Mansion wallpaper, but it had been Muppetized.
Oh, cool.
Which was really cute. And then the rest of them were scenes from the stretching room. We almost had a purple tongue incident. Because once you pick up the chocolate piece, there's like purple icing holding the chocolate piece on the eclair, but the eclairs were really good. So another great treat, and this is a Halloween treat, and it's Muppets. Yummy.
Anything else new or exciting at Hollywood Studios for the 50th?
There are 50th banners all over the place in all four parks. They are the iridescent. We did see a character cavalcade, but it was Mickey and Minnie in their cars. Like, they were not in different, they were iridescent costumes or anything like that at Hollywood. They are doing Beacons of Magic. We did not stay. We did Disney Springs night. So we did not see Beacons of Magic at Hollywood. We only saw it at Epcot. I did build a droid. It's not new or exciting, but it is for me. Me and Mom actually built droids, which anybody that has built droids with somebody else in their household and you're walking around the parks with them, they talk the rest of the day. And it's really funny. But yeah, that was our Hollywood day. Just a very slow, not huge crowds. We can kind of ride whatever we want. Yeah, it was good.
Speaking of Disney Springs, anything special for the 50th over at Springs?
And they had a lot of different food. We didn't try any of the 50th snacks or anything like that. We did Springs twice. I always stop at Deluxe Burger with my friend Danielle because we love Deluxe Burger. The fries and the dipping sauce are half the reason why we go. Me and Jimmy did Polite Pig on the way out on Saturday, so we didn't try any of the snacks. Do have to say, though, we did Springs, World of Disney. The middle section of World of Disney is where all the 50th merchandise, madhouse. It was very chaotic. It honestly felt like people thought the merchandise was not going to be there in a month.
It was like Black Friday shopping.
It almost felt like that. And I don't do that. I don't do Black Friday shopping. I am very much an online shopper. It was too much for me. I get claustrophobic in large crowds. I basically found my mom and said, I gotta go. Like, are we done? Luckily, they're testing scan, shop, buy, leave, however they're wording it, on the My Disney Experience. We did it there. We went to an attendant at one of the doors. They double-checked the order, basically making sure we didn't grab something extra on the way out, put it in a bag, and we walked out. If I had to wait in the line, I would have left everything. Like, everything that I wanted, that I had in my hands, I would have said, no, it's not worth it. The lines were too long. The crowd was too bad. But thank goodness for the scan shop, because we got gifts for our family back home, my dad, my boyfriend. And I'm getting into the shoulder pets. I got a Zero that lights up.
So yeah, he's like a little Zero. Yeah, that, I mean, just looks like him. And he has a light inside, so he kind of glows with light.
His light is on the tail.
Does he have a little pumpkin on his nose, or is that his red nose?
That's his pumpkin nose.
Oh, he's got a little pumpkin nose, yep.
And, of course, there's a magnet, so you can put it on your shoulder. So this was really cute, and World of Disney was the only place that we saw it. So I'm glad that we didn't just bolt, that we got to do the scan and buy. And they knew about my pass holder discount, which was the key.
That is a nice add, because, a lot of times when you were doing the mobile order, it would have trouble recognizing that you were a pass holder discount. So I was very intrigued by this scan, shop, and leave, or whatever it's called, that Sam showed us a little bit on the Tuesday Night Live show.
Yeah, Sam got to try it too.
Yeah, at Disney Creations. And I was going to ask you if you were able to use it. So I'm glad that it went well for you.
I'm pulling up the app because it was three stores. Oh, now I'm looking at the app and it's only giving me two stores, World Disney and Creation Shop. But I feel like there was a shop.
I would sure think that Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, there was. I feel like Magic Kingdom had it, but I literally am looking at the app and it only shows two stores. But when I was there last week, it showed three. So I don't know what that is, but I honestly will take advantage of that 90% of the time.
And you just need to have your My Disney Experience app and a credit card on file?
Yep.
Easy enough?
Yeah, which I think most of us probably have a credit card on file anyway. If not, you can always add it. Of course, make sure your pass holder ticket is linked or your DVC. I don't know if it would work because I know Chase Visa members get a discount.
That's true. Perhaps if you have your Chase Visa account as the credit card on file, I will report back in November. Let you know.
Well, I have my Chase Visa card. That's the one that we use, but I'm a pass holder, and pass holder trumps Chase Visa card.
Right. I don't have my AP anymore, so I just have my Chase.
All right. You will be our tester on that then.
I will report back. Buy something.
If anybody can walk out of a trip at Disney and not buy anything, I want to know their secret.
I couldn't even do it and I was a local.
They're
on the weekends.
Yeah.
Oh, I need that.
Unless I was just really, really broke that week. Like if that was not a pay week when I was a local and I just needed to get a Disney fix, that's the only way I walked out of the parks without buying anything, because I needed food over a Disney merchandise.
Yeah.
But as a local, that's the only way I walked out of the parks without something.
And I'll be going with a 3-year-old. So I feel like I will not be walking out without something. All right. Moving over to Magic Kingdom. Obviously, tons of new stuff. Tons of celebration over there. What did you see? What'd you do?
We walked in the confectionery because it had just reopened. And it has taken over Le Chapeau. So where you used to get your Mickey ears. All of that is now the confectionery, and it's actually kind of cool. So Le Chapeau part, you can actually kind of make your own popcorn. So you pick your popcorn, pick your topping, so you can get like a chocolate drizzle on it. And then you can pick other things to add to it, like different candies and things like that. So you kind of can make your own little candy popcorn trail mix thing. I don't really know the official term, but I thought that was really cool.
That is really neat. Do they have the popcorn buckets there as well? Or does it get served in a bag or a bowl?
It gets served in a bag.
Okay.
Because I think, and it was a little crowded. If you guys are familiar with that part, there is that little ramp walkway that's a little narrow. And I was live in there. So I didn't want to stand there too long and take up the space with other people there as well. So I didn't get to see them actually mix it, but I'm wondering if they like mix it in the bag or something. But I saw some people with it afterwards and it looked really tasty. I might have to try that next time.
Yeah, that sounds like a nice thing to grab before watching the new fireworks show.
Yes. And everything just seemed a little bigger. You also have now a window that you... I don't remember if there was a window before that we could watch the cast members make like the candied apples and the other treats. I don't feel like we could watch them make it in the Emporium before.
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, if we couldn't, we can now. Which is, I feel like that's also almost more fun than just obviously seeing them in the display case. It's cool to see them.
At Disney Springs where you can see them making, tipping the caramel apples. Pulling the tap.
Like candy cauldron and all that.
Yep.
That was cool. I really liked the layout. It felt more open. They had a bigger register area. They still had some display cases, but they were smaller because honestly, they needed more register space. I feel like, you know, especially at the end of the day, those lines are crazy in the confectionery sometimes. So they made some really smart changes and it still smells amazing when you walk in there. So I have no complaints.
A nice small change.
Yeah.
Where do you get your Mickey ears now?
The Mickey ears, they still had some over in the Emporium. As far as getting them embroidered, I know there is a place and I am drawing a blank on it right now and I apologize. I know at least Disney Springs has a place, but they did make it somewhere else and I just forgot where.
Were you able to see the new fireworks display?
I did not. So we went to Magic Kingdom on Thursday. So the day before the 1st, the 30th. They closed Magic Kingdom at 8 o'clock. They live streamed Enchantment, which we simulcast for you guys, because they actually only had media in there. Luckily, Sam got a media invitation. So he was there. He has video, which we've shared on the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com. I was in Disney Springs. I got to see parts of that and got to see Christina Aguilera do her singing and all that, and was a little jealous of Sam because he got to see Christina Aguilera perform in person, because, hey, she does have some vocals on her. But I feel like watching the live stream of Enchantment is the same as Harmonious. It's not going to be as good until you see it in person, because there's so much to look at. They were doing multi-camera angles, and that just kind of makes it hard to figure out what to look at, because all of a sudden you're focusing on one thing and then it changes the camera. So the music is great. I have no judgment until I see it in person, but I'm excited to see it in person.
Yeah, me too. I think it's nice to have that display down Main Street, and the lights and the effects over the building.
But like, the only thing that worries me though is now you're going to have everybody crammed on Main Street, because they have Main Street and the castle and the fireworks to look at now. I mean, we all kind of like, before we're like, oh, everybody's crammed on the hub and Main Street. But now you've kind of taken the hub away if you want to see Main Street. So I'm a little concerned about that. I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to still be in the hub.
Yeah.
I'll just turn around and see Main Street.
I think that, like, the first time that I'm probably going to watch it is when we're there for the meetup. I know that I'm going to have my boyfriend with me, and he doesn't like the crowds as much. So we're probably going to go. We're probably going to go to the hub, or we're going to go somewhere less crowded. But I probably will want to see it at least once in Main Street, just to kind of see what it's like and if it's any. If I'm getting a different feeling from it.
Do you think the new dessert party special access location is going to be the platform for the train station? So that you have that elevated location down Main Street and then perfect view of the castle?
I don't know. I feel like they did announce more than one dessert party for Magic Kingdom. So I feel like you still have the Tomorrowland Terrace as one, but the second one might.
Right, because you're going to miss all of Main Street.
Yeah. But.
I mean, you still get the desserts.
Yeah. But also, you've got to think about what is going to be the good spot that Disney can section off well. It might be too hard. And also, if you do a VIP tour when the train station was open, that's where you got to watch Happily Ever After. Mm. So where do you then stick the people that have done the paid for the VIP tour?
It's just included.
Yeah.
But I think it is a primed, it will be shortly untapped, short-lived untapped location.
Yes.
Just in thinking of what you can see from that train station, because we often, when we do a meetup at Magic Kingdom, we'll meet there. And it is a really nice location to have a nice breeze up there. You're covered. You can see straight down Main Street. You have the castle. You have the full sky view. But it sounds, in theory, like a beautiful spot to watch this show.
Yeah, and I've seen fireworks from the second floor of the train station. I've live streamed for us on the second floor of the train station, so that's where I would go if I had access. Right now, we don't have access to the second floor of the train station because that's where the characters are and they wave at us. But I definitely see that in some point, if not already, unless you did the dessert party or a VIP, you cannot go to the second floor of the train station during Enchantment. They'll just have it roped off.
Yeah.
So.
Anything else new, exciting from Magic Kingdom? I know you were there before the celebration.
I mean, we did get to check out, again, some of the merchandise. Again, that middle room that they put the kind of different merchandise in was, again, just a madhouse. I mean, I have never seen people clamor and crowd for merchandise like they do, like they did for this 50th merchandise. And I almost like I feel bad for the cast members because they are working so hard for restocking. And this, I mean, if you guys have been in the Emporium, that middle room that they have, they put the Halloween and the Christmas, like that kind of always transitional room is where the 50th is. They don't have a lot of room to restock. So I kind of wanted to tap them on the shoulder, every cast member, and be like, thank you. Thank you. Cause that's one thing that I did was merchandise. So I know how hard they are working, but I've never, ever seen people want a particular piece of merchandise so bad. Like I said before, it really felt like they thought that this stuff was going away tomorrow. And it just baffled me.
I think that's a great point, is the 50th is honestly all about the cast members. Yes. They make our days magical. They bring the pixie dust. They are what makes Walt Disney World and Disneyland and all the other Disney parks. Without them, we would not have any of our memories. And for everyone to step back, be a good Disney nerd, be a good Disney fan, and just love each other, be friendly and kind to our cast members, and say thank you.
Yes.
Because that's what's really important here.
Like, I think I do have some of the Disney or podcast made, like, thank you cast member cards. So I'm definitely going to make sure I pack them for the meetup and just kind of spread the love to the cast members as much as possible, because they are appreciated. And especially that weekend, I'm sure every Magic Kingdom cast member was exhausted. And if any of them are listening to this podcast right now, we appreciate every cast member in Walt Disney World and Disneyland and all the other parks too. But, you know, we appreciate what you guys do for us as guests. The parks would not be the parks without you, especially speaking of somebody who was on your side. I know how hard you guys are working, and we appreciate it like 110%.
Agreed. Well, on that note, I think we have covered a lot between the lineup that is Disney Genie, the 50th kickoff, and there will be more to come with the 50th kickoff. Yeah,
the 50th is 18 months, so even when we get back from the meetup, there's going to be more 50th to talk about, because we all haven't seen everything. So, you know, I feel like we're going to be talking about this 50th celebration for the whole 18 months.
Absolutely. And it's now more important than ever to, you know, hey, subscribe. Check us out on Tuesday nights, the podcast. I mean, Jimmy, you know, you got this. Can you just tell us how everyone can reach us?
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
All right, everyone, we are going to call it a night. Thanks so much for joining us. For Morgan, this is Melissa, and we are the Disney Nerds.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay.